You're listening to Locked On College Football Kickoff Live with myself, Drake Toll of Locked On Big 12, Kenton Gibbs of Locked On ACC, and Alex Dono of Locked On Canes. Live every Friday from noon to 1 Eastern Time, wherever you get your Locked On favorites on YouTube. Let's take a look around the country in college football. Contrary to what many people are saying, this is College Football Kickoff Live. Drake Toll here from Locked On Big 12. That's Kenton Gibbs from Locked On ACC and Locked On Wolfpack. Alex Dono, Locked On Canes. Thank you for making Locked On College Football Kickoff Live your lunchtime listen every single Friday. Kenton Gibbs, the moment has finally come. You were so passionate a couple of weeks ago about Tez Walker, who was ineligible, was not allowed to play, whereas somebody can come out and say they stubbed their toe, had to move schools, and they are granted eligibility immediately. But now, finally, the right thing has been done. Tez Walker will be on the football field Saturday.
Absolutely. I've talked about this ad nauseum. The first transfer he had should not have counted, period. The NCAA was trying to go so tough by the letter of the law that they didn't realize sometimes the application of these things have to be different from the reality of what's going on. There's not, life isn't black and white. There are beautiful colors all in between. But if you want to keep it that way, it's a very reckless use of your time. And to go a step further, the governor wrote a letter, and then the attorney general of the state wrote a letter, thinly veiling the threat of a lawsuit in there. And I'm going to tell you, this sets a very dangerous precedent, because now the NCAA is basically mincemeat in terms of, oh, you made a ruling we don't like. Hey, get the governor on the phone. Get the AG on the phone. We're going to get our boy active. And that's just what is going to happen from here going forward, because we've seen how political power can flex its muscle in these affairs, which is something I am wholeheartedly against. I pay the players, do what you want with all that good stuff. Keep politicians out of this thing.
Yeah, Kenton, I'm right there with you. It's, here's a good thing that happened, but who was the person that initiated this happening, and did that go correctly? Dono, you've got now the government stepping in effectively and making sure this thing moves forward. Where do you set? Because it's a good thing, but how we got there is a little funky.
Well, and another thing about how we got there is clearly the NCAA, they buckled under public and political pressure. I'm glad they finally did the right thing, but they tried to blame this on North Carolina for why now is the time that they chose to grant the waiver, which I thought was incredibly weak by the NCAA. So the NCAA is saying that, well, now we have received in the latest application new information that North Carolina had neglected or failed to give us in the previous 8 attempts that they tried to get him this waiver. And so now we have no choice but to grant it, which is like, okay, you don't think North Carolina, even before the politicians started stepping in, which I'm with you guys, I don't love that either, because the government has enough things on their plate without being forced to
that they can't
regulate
handle,
college
right.
football left and right. Like, there's plenty of other things going on in Washington, D.C. right now where this seems like a bridge too far. But I just thought with the NCAA, only the NCAA can find a way to do a good thing and still make themselves look like clowns by doing it, because trying to put it on North Carolina for why he finally gets cleared for week 6, that was one of the things that immediately I raised an eyebrow at.
And I want to just say this about that whole, like, the NCAA trying to throw North Carolina under the bus thing. Say it with the chest. Say what happened and how it happened. Right. I'm a big proponent of name names or keep it on the playground. Say what was shared that was new. In previous statements, they did not share with us that this specific thing had happened. We can show the documentation and proof to prove that this thing did not happen. Yeah. And if you don't do that, then at that point, you leave it up to speculation, which I don't know if you know this, NCAA, but dating back to Brian Bosworth, the Boz and the Mohawk, you all have looked like idiots. Dating back to the creation of the word student athlete, where you did it to keep a young man from getting workers' compensation after he was permanently paralyzed on the field. You've looked like a little bit of a farce. And now we're in the end game, as Tony Stark would say, because guess what? Your days are numbered. You're heading towards the end of the road for you. And moments like this don't help, where, well, if they would have gave us the information. Is the information a lawsuit, brother? Is the information a lawsuit? You can be honest about it. You can be honest. You know, the information is, I didn't know that Josh Stein had it. He had a locked and loaded court briefing ready for me, and we didn't need those problems. at the end of the day, the NCAA is absolutely a clown show for, again, not saying with their chest, this is what they did wrong, this is how they did it wrong, and this is where we stand on it. We'll allow him to play, but just so y'all know, this is what we didn't have.
However we got there, still huge for Tez Walker, taking the NCAA out of it, for Tez Walker to be on the field, for Mac Brown, yeah, UNC, yeah, to get this. Massive for a kid who deserved it from day one. Interesting development here. You get a car. You get a car. You get nope, you're a walk-on. You don't get a car. Scholarship players at Utah will all get trucks. I mean, so I love it. Urban Meyer, former Utah coach, there's a tie-in, went to Florida. He said, I treat my superstars like superstars, my dirt like dirt. The great players get steak and lobster. The bad players get hamburgers and hot dogs. Kyle Whittingham says, all my scholarship players, you get a truck. My walk-ons do not. Kenton Gibbs, we're in an era of NIL in college football where this is not shocking, but boy, it's wild.
Listen, you know, the NBA YoungBoy came out with a song called Fresh Prince of Utah, and everybody wondered why. And apparently we see why it was a parade inside his city, because everybody and their mama was getting cars. I mean, is it Kyle Whittingham or is it Oprah Winfrey in a tall white man bodysuit? We need to know. These are questions that we need to know. For those of you who don't know, back in the 90s, that was Oprah's bit. That was her thing. Everybody, hey, everyone, reach under your seats, because I'm sure that that's how it went down in Utah's team meeting. But very seriously, this is one of those moments where, honestly, I'm not mad at it at all. Like, yes, I would have loved to see the walk-ons be included in it, of course. I'm just one of those guys that, I mean, the walk-ons, they get beat up on every day in practice. And then, like, you get beat up on, and now you got to go to your little torn-up Hyundai that's got, like, 80 recalls on it, and you just
you and Brock Purdy both. You're driving the same car as Brock Purdy.
Exactly. And then you got to look at the starting tackle that's putting your head in the dirt every play. Oh, that's a nice Ford Raptor you got there. Oh, well. But no, very seriously, I'm glad that the players are being compensated for all the value that they bring, because let's just be honest. We talked about this plenty of times. When teams win, what happens? All of a sudden, all these new buildings start popping up around the school.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, all these endowments start growing. All of a sudden, all of these newfound donors want to donate, and every penny ain't necessarily going to the program. So where's the money going? Well, right, the money is apparently going to trucks for these players, which I'll take it. I'll buy it. I love it.
Yeah, Dono, it is the Crimson Initiative, the Utah Crimson Collective, that did this. Are you on board with everybody getting trucks? I mean, this seems pretty neat to me.
No, I'm on board. You know, unlike Kenton, my brain didn't immediately go to the walk-ons, because the walk-ons, they get the shaft in every aspect, yeah, right?
They do.
This is not new. This is not the first place that's happened.
85 scholarship players getting these cars, and this is, you know, they dotted all the I's, crossed the T's. This is a legal NIL deal. And I think this is a pretty cool display of the power of name, image, and likeness, because this does a lot of good for Utah, right? Because every player that they're recruiting is going to say, well, okay, that's pretty cool. They're giving these guys trucks. Like, that's pretty neat. I would imagine there's also a lot of goodwill here for Ram, you know, because these are all Ram trucks. So their name gets in the news quite a bit. I would imagine there's probably a local dealership that's behind this facilitating the leases. So they get goodwill as well. So I think this is a cool example of NIL working, because guys, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, that allegedly goes on behind the scenes with NIL. A lot of these like quiet payouts from collectives that aren't really in the spirit of NFL, because the spirit of NIL is really supposed to be advertising. Like, that's what it's supposed to be. A lot of times it's not that. It's just recruiting bidding wars. But I think 100%. In this case, the advertising part of it actually works, because Ram, Utah, the dealerships in question, they get positive PR from this. So I like it a lot.
There's ROI here for everybody involved, which is what I think NIL was supposed to be from the jump. This is doing NIL correctly, in my opinion, over at Utah. Now, this week, we have a ton of ranked on ranked games. The biggest game of the week being Oklahoma and Texas, the Red River rivalry, the last one in the Big 12 taking place this week. And before we take you out to Houston, we've got Jonathan Davis from Locked On Longhorns, Josh Helmer, John Williams of Locked On Sooners to break down how they think this one will go.
I think that a lot of it's going to come down to how does the Oklahoma defense slow down Quinn Ewers and the offense? I mean, Texas is running the ball really, really well. And if they can't stop the run, it's going to be very, very difficult for them to slow down Quinn Ewers. And it's not that Quinn Ewers is a bad quarterback, incapable of picking up second and longs, third and longs, but that's where Brent Venables' defense thrives. If they can get Quinn Ewers, the Texas Longhorns, into some second and third and longs, it's going to be a long day for the Longhorns. And I think that's going to be key. That's, to me, the biggest key of the game. Even if Oklahoma can't run the ball themselves, if they can slow down Texas's run game, it'll kind of play into their favor. I feel good about this team. I've been talking about it for months. Oklahoma right now, they're 5-0 against the spread. So playing really, really good. They're putting up points. They're slowing teams down. It's a good defensive team, a good offensive team. So I'm feeling great about where Oklahoma's at heading into this one, even though Texas may still be the better team. We know it's a coin flip game, right? Every single year, it doesn't matter what the rosters look like, what the trajectory of the teams look like, the records look like. Throw it all out the window, as the proverbial rivalry game would state in the rivalry book. But Jonathan, how do you see this one playing out? What's your prediction? Give it to us.
Yeah, my favorite questions to ask, the million-dollar questions, the questions that the fans are waiting for, who wins, who covers. Right now, FanDuel has it as Texas minus 6.5. I say Texas wins, Texas covers. This defense has not given up more than 24 points all year. I'm not going to disrespect them and say they're going to do it for the first time this Saturday. I actually have the exact same Alabama-Texas score, 34-24, right? I think it kind of goes the same way, maybe minus the turnovers. I don't see Dylan Gabriel throwing two interceptions. I think Texas takes the lead. I think Oklahoma keeps it close, even takes the lead at some point. And then I think in the third or fourth quarter, Texas kind of takes off. But it's a close game all throughout. Texas ends up winning by 10 points in this edition of the Red River Shootout. Once again, 34-24 to move to 6-0. And once again, keep controlling their own destiny en route to hopefully a Big 12 championship and a college football playoff appearance.
The eyes of Texas are upon you, and I love the Longhorns. Kenton Gibbs, look, Oklahoma's good. Be certain. They finished under 500 last year. You can try to sweep that under the rug, but to me, they still haven't proven anything. They haven't beaten anybody formidable this season. Texas went on the road and beat Alabama by double digits. Give me the Longhorns here.
This is a Brent Venables stan account. You understand? If you see fan cams popping up with Brent Venables on the sideline with that locked jaw, with the coach, the strength coach holding the back, it's me. I'm the guy who did it. I'm the villain. I'm the coach. With that being said, although this is a stan account, this ain't a delusion account. You understand? Yeah. Now, the reality is, Texas is the better team, and one of the things that Texas does extremely well this year that I don't think people are talking about, they're one of the least penalized teams in the nation. I want to say that they're in the top 15 or 20 in terms of least penalties by yardage and penalties per game. And on top of that, their defense that's the story. We knew Texas offense was going to be special. There was never the question about, oh, man, can Worthy and Ewers and company get it together? We knew. We knew what was going to happen. We knew the guy backing up Bijan Robinson last year was a stud, and if he played on any other team, he'd probably be a starter, maybe an all-conference guy. But we looked at this team and said, Sark's not a defensive coach. What's the defense going to do? And with them coming along, with all due respect, I think that Brent has time, and time Mr. Venables can catch up and make this Oklahoma team a formidable opponent. But for right now, I'll take Texas to win and cover.
Yeah, and Quinn Ewers has not had to win these games. We have not seen peak Quinn Ewers yet. You know, even statistically, he has not built a Heisman caliber season because he hasn't had to. Texas has run the ball so well, 192 yards per game on the ground. When your defense is that good, your run game is that good with Jonathan Brooks, you're doing something right with or without Quinn Ewers going and being a superstar every week. When your quarterback doesn't have to be that guy and you're still winning games, that says a lot about this Texas team. Donald, where do you sit with this one?
Well, it's funny. We were watching that clip with the OU hosts and the Texas hosts, and they talk about, you know, how close this game is every year. I guess they're just pretending that last year didn't happen. Right. I know Oklahoma, I know that they
John just slipped that one in there. It's like, this is a great game. Like, always a great game. Every year.
Well, they lost 49-0 to Texas last year. I know they literally didn't have a quarterback in that game, so maybe they just pretend like that didn't happen. Now, I think Texas wins comfortably again this year. It's not going to be as comfortable as it was last year.
No.
I like the quarterback matchup. Dylan Gabriel's doing nice things for Oklahoma, but I give the edge to Quinn Ewers. Texas's running game and Texas's running defense, I think, is going to be a big difference in this football game. And that's why I think the Longhorns are going to be very stingy. Just as a neutral, I hope it's a high scoring game because, guys, I've been watching this for, I guess, over 30 years. I've been watching this matchup pretty much annually. And as someone who has zero rooting interest in either team, I always make it a part of this particular Saturday to watch the Red River rivalry. They used to call it the Red River Shootout. I'm hoping it is a shootout tomorrow because that's what I would like to see. But I just don't think that Oklahoma is just going to have the guns, so to speak, to keep up with Texas because Texas's defense is too good this year.
Wait a minute. They changed it from shootout? Oh, no. Oh, cancel culture has gone too far. In the moment. No, I'm just joking. I'm just going to go ahead.
It depends on who you ask, right? The shootout shirts are still out there for Texas OU. Right. I think the Big 12 just wanted to rebrand to, hey, we play defense. So we took the word shootout out of there, right? This matchup on paper, though, ESPN has a 55% chance for Oklahoma to win. A lot of the analytics favor Oklahoma.
Really?
Because of the easy schedule, that's been a big part of this. And I say easy in comparison to Texas, what Texas has done. So for OU Texas, while on paper, ESPN and other outlets have OU winning, I think if you've watched either of these two teams play, we can all get behind the fact that Texas is the better team. And if they play to their potential, they win this game by 7-10 points, cover the 5. Speaking of covering, we got some Sell Me Wise coming up. LSU, Missouri. This game is within a touchdown score for two ranked teams. But first, Dono.
I want to talk about LinkedIn. Guys, if you're a small business owner, these days every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Guys, I've been on the other side of it. I have gotten jobs before through LinkedIn Jobs as an employee, so I know this can work for your business. You add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring, and people will see it. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to and faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
It is time for Sell Me Why. I get worse every week. The undefeated Missouri Tigers will host Brian Kelly's LSU Tigers tomorrow at noon Eastern time, and the line has been moving in favor of Missouri after starting at +6.5 for those Tigers. Now it's down to 4. Here's John Miller of Locked On Missouri to tell you why to take Mizzou.
Hey, I'm John Miller with the Locked On Mizzou podcast, and I'm here to sell you on the Missouri Tigers beating the LSU Tigers. And really, it's quite simple. Even though we all know LSU struggled defensively against Ole Miss this past weekend, what you might not know is that Missouri has had one of the elite offenses in the country the past 3 weeks, in particular in the passing game. Now, LSU, obviously, has a high-powered offense of its own, but Missouri's defense, I would say, is at the very least a solid unit, maybe to above average, and I really don't think the Missouri Tigers, have played their best game yet. So again, if you're going to be betting on somebody, make it Missouri this weekend. It's a lot closer to a coin flip than a 6.5-point spread as it started off, now 4.5 over at FanDuel Sportsbook. So that's why I'm selling you on Missouri.
All right, Donna, what do we do with this? Missouri, I mean, this wasn't just a sell me why on the spread. This was Missouri to win outright.
Yeah. On the money line, baby.
I don't know if I can buy this one, Donna.
I can't either, even though LSU has never won in Missouri before. They've only played each other 3 times. LSU is 1-2. Their lone win in that series was in Baton Rouge. And I also, listen, LSU should not be ranked. Like, the fact that they're ranked with two losses and virtually no defense to speak of in those losses, it's upsetting to me. However, I still can't buy it because, man, so much of, guys, when I'm actually putting my money on this stuff, so much of it relies on talent. And I do believe, even though Brian Kelly tends to get in his own way a lot, LSU is still the more talented team. And that offense is going to be very tough to stop for Mizzou's defense. So I am going with LSU to get their first road victory at Mizzou and to cover that 4.5 point spread while doing it. He almost sold me. He almost sold me because LSU is overrated, but I still think they get this done.
You know, I grew up going to a small church in Detroit, Michigan called Alpha and Omega Reformed Missionary Baptist Church, okay? And one song we used to sing all the time is, I am sold out. My mind is made up. And I'm made up and bought in to Coach Drink. I'm going to tell you right now, Kelly is a farce of a head coach. He is not the guy at LSU. He's not going to get it done. He has not found the ability to take any blame for anything that goes wrong down there. The problem with that is this. The players see that. And everything that head coaches do, everybody says that the program takes the temperament of the head coach. That's what's going to happen at LSU. That lack of accountability is going to spread. It's going to spread. Next thing you know, people are going to ask Jay Daniels, why don't you slide? Well, if the offense got more yards, maybe I'd do a better job of getting down and not having to get my clock cleaned every time. And then you ask the offensive lineman, well, hey, why aren't you blocking as well for Jay Daniels? Well, if he sat back and hit his drops properly. I'm going to tell you, this is a situation where people are finally starting to see the real Brian Kelly. Because honestly, if we're talking talent, Dono, I believe that they are just as, if not slightly more talented than Florida State. But what happened in that game? Brian Kelly said, my corners keep getting dunked on. It's all right. Single high. They'll be okay out there on an island. They'll figure it out eventually. Eventually never came. Eventually was like the procrastination man from the Amanda show. Drake told Google that. You'll find out what it is later.
I saw with the lobsters. And then the lobsters come out on the stage.
Okay, all right. You got it. But
I have no idea what that reference is about. But
we have built a weird merge, Kenton, where Dono's too old and somehow I'm just young enough.
Just right. You know, we're like the three little bears in their porridge and all that good stuff.
They weren't all little, Kenton. They weren't all little.
I'm sorry. Mama and Papa Bear are little bears in my heart. But the reality is they're close to my heart, just like Coach Drink is close to my heart. And that guy has got me sold. I'm buying Mizzou running outright.
Plus 164 on the money line from Mizzou this week. We got one guy. We got two of us. Two of us are taking LSU and Kenton Gibbs on Mizzou. Dono almost sold. I'm splitting it down the middle with the Tigers.
Yeah.
The number 13 Washington State Cougars, who have been in the news lately with conference expansion, are they Power 5? Where will they go? They're headed to take on UCLA, and they have a lot to prove this whole season. But UCLA, who's unranked, facing a top 15 team, is a 3.5 point favorite. The Bruins, Vegas loves them. Here is Zach Anderson Yorkshire to tell you why you should take the Bruins to cover.
The Bruins are getting the points at home versus a top 15, top 16 team against Washington State. Not unheard of, but it's doable. How do the Bruins do it? I think they're going to cover because they've got a defensive line that's most unlike the majority of the Pac-12 teams, and especially unlike anything Washington State and Cam Ward has faced this season. The Bruins have been forcing turnovers. They're in the top 25 and forcing turnovers, having forced 9. I think UCLA gets Ward down at least 3 times with 3 sacks, quite a few tackles for loss, led by Leatu Latu, and I think they force Cam Ward to throw his first interception. All that, and I'm not sure the Cougar defensive line is as dominant as Utah's will be or was against UCLA and Dante Moore. I think Moore, after the bye, has a rebound game, and the Bruins put up some much better offensive numbers coming off a bye, just like Washington State. Hey, that's all the Bruins got to do to put up the points against the Cougars. Locked on UCLA, Zach Anderson, Yoxheimer. Go Bruins.
Hey, guys, I got to ride the hot hand here with Washington State. When they have so much to prove this season, and wins don't exactly equate to a brand building or a team going to a Power 5 conference, they could go undefeated, win the national title, and still not get that. But at the same time, the echo in the locker room is that that's the case. Jake Dicker, for him, that's the case right now. So I'm going to take Washington State here. UCLA, noon, there may be 15,000 people in that stadium. The atmosphere is not going to play a role in this. They put up 7 points against a Utah team that got thrashed by Oregon State, who Washington State beat. Transitive property doesn't work in college football, but it does for me right here. I'm taking Washington State, Kenton.
Yeah, you know, it's always a great day for me when I get to talk poorly about King High School graduates. For those of you who don't know, I went to Cass Tech. It's a rival of King. We're rivals with one another. Dante Moore graduated from King. And I'm going to tell you this much. Dante Moore will be Dante less this game. I'm telling you what, this Washington State defense does not get their proper respect. They can create some turnovers with the best of them. But more importantly, they've got a Heisman candidate at quarterback. They don't have a guy that's good. And Cam Moore, that man is a freak of nature. I look at him and I think to myself, he is what I expected De'Aaron King to be when he went to Miami, had it not been for the injuries and whatnot. When I watched De'Aaron King play when he was healthy, I see Cam Ward's get. I see the translation and the overlap right there. Two guys that are freakishly athletic, but they also have that timing and that rhythm and that, oh, I know where the window is, where I need to hit it. I'm telling you, UCLA's defensive line is good, but it's a small thing to a giant for a quarterback who doesn't depend and rely on creating out of chaos. He's a guy I like it in structure. I like to know at once I hit the top of my drop, the ball needs to be delivered here. And Cam Ward does better than anybody in the country just about. So that's why I've got the Cougs taking this one.
Dono, does the board agree here?
The board does agree. I wanted to make the case for UCLA, but honestly, the only reason why the spread is only 3 is because they're the home team. And then Drake, you made a good point about the fact that it's a noon game local time. And, you know, Los Angeles is a lot like Miami where I live. It's hard to get people out for a noon game. It's a, you know, a similar sort of culture out there. And also, you know, I will take that solid experience defense against a true freshman quarterback. Now for UCLA, they are coming off the bye week, which can be a good or a bad thing. Sometimes people maybe just assume, oh, you're well rested. Everything. A lot of times teams come out flat after bye week. So for a lot of different reasons, I'm taking Washington State to cover. This probably should be more like a 5.5-point spread. The fact that it's only 3, I see opportunity here.
He is the fourth host of Locked On College Football Kickoff Live, Kevin Borba, who joins us every week. The Colorado Buffaloes have lost their last 2 games against Oregon and USC, now 4.5-point favorites against the Arizona State Sun Devils in Tempe. That line opened at 5.5. Here is Kevin Borba again of Locked On Buffs to sell you why Coach Prime's team can cover.
I'm Kevin Borba, and I'm the host of Locked On Buffs, and I'm going to tell you exactly why Colorado's going to cover the 5.5-point spread against Arizona State this weekend. They are traveling on the road to Tempe, Arizona. Could be a tough one. It's going to be a hot one for sure. But here's the thing. Colorado just got embarrassed 2 times in a row against Oregon and USC. Played a lot better against USC. But this Arizona State team is struggling at quarterback. Their defense is solid, but their offense struggles to keep up. And I think that's where Colorado comes into play. And I think Colorado wins by double digits. I think Colorado could outscore them. I think they can make this what should be a shootout, but I know Arizona State's offense cannot keep up with them. So with that being said, Deion Sanders, Shedeur Sanders, Jimmy Horn Jr., Omarion Miller, the star of last week's game against USC, they're going to pop off this weekend, and Colorado is going to cover against Arizona State. And they're also going to get back in the win column after 2 straight losses, pick up some momentum, and get the hype train back on and back going. Colorado, they're coming, as they've been saying.
Kent, now I want to get your thoughts on this one first, because here's what I see. Growing up in the SEC, I'd watch Arkansas play Alabama 1 week, LSU the next week, then play Vanderbilt. And it would depend. You know, you had 2 really tough games, 2 really tough losses. You either beat the brakes off somebody, let off some steam, or you get caught up, tripped up by a team that you should beat. But when you play that easy opponent that you expect to win by a lot against, that can create issues within the locker room from a mentality standpoint. As somebody who played the game at the collegiate level, where do you sit with a matchup like this?
Yeah, so in a matchup like this, it's all about the temperament of the head coach, you know. And I know that I say it's not about your X and O's, just your Larry's and your Joe's a lot, but that's when you actually get on the field. If we're talking about the preparation and what goes into this thing, I don't think that Coach Prime has allowed them to feel good about themselves and say, hey, this is going to be an easy one. We're going to roll in this game, even though they should. I don't think that he's allowed them to have that mentality. I mean, for Christ's sake, the Arizona State self-imposed the bowl ban this year. And I imposed the ban on me dating Serena Williams as well. You know, I know that she's married to a billionaire with a child, but I imposed the ban on myself.
You can't do it. You cannot do it.
I said I need to be fair to the other men of the world, especially Alexi, her husband, and all that. And I said, I need to put this ban on myself, you know. So much like Arizona State, I'm banning myself from things that weren't going to happen anyway. And I don't think this game would have helped their toll to get there. I think that Colorado rolls in this one, and you know, Kevin Borba, we have him on for a 6th and 7th straight week to talk more Colorado, even during their bye week.
Yeah, Dono, who do you ride with this one?
I ride with Colorado for the 2nd straight week. Hashtag I'm with Borba. This spread is ludicrous. Arizona State is one of the worst Power 5 teams. Like, for I don't care. They could be playing in Tempe. They could play in Timbuktu. It doesn't make a difference where this game is played. Colorado is going to win this game, like Borba said, at least by a couple of touchdowns. Arizona State is awful. And, you know, I'm going to co-sign on what Kenton said about, you know, Dion probably instilling these guys with the right mentality for a game like this. I'm seeing evidence of his tough love paying dividends, because a couple weeks ago, Dion was very vocal about top recruit in the country, who's a true freshman in their class, Cormani McClain, the former 5-star cornerback who, you know, even after Travis Hunter first got injured, McClain wasn't getting on the field. And Dion was talking about not enough work ethic, you know, not enough playbook study, that he's just not checking off the boxes. Well, McClain finally did get on the field against USC, and he played pretty well, and I was watching him pretty closely. He looked like a man possessed out there. So it seems like the motivational tactics that Dion is using are working, at least on certain players. And yeah, listen, Colorado is just, they're going to score a lot. And, you know, Borba mentioned something about it being a shootout. And then, you know, Brandon Olson, our producer, made a great point in our chat. Arizona State hasn't put 30 on anybody this year. So it's not going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be pretty lopsided, where Colorado is going to score and Arizona State's going to run out of juice at some point.
Yeah, I think Jaden Rashada is a good quarterback, albeit young. I mean, he's going to be someone who makes college football teams unhappy in the Big 12 as Arizona State makes that move. Colorado defensively allows 480 yards per game. That is a lot of yards. So I can see where the shootout mentality comes from. I mean, look, Arizona State should score 24, 28 points on this Colorado defense, as most teams have been able to do here. Obviously this is a very much an inferior opponent for Colorado, but if they score 28, Colorado scores 56, you're still covering 4. So give me the Buffs as well. The entire panel agrees. Tell you what, let's do some booms or busts. Who around the country impressed you last week? Who has lost it all? That is coming up. But first, Dono.
Well, first, my friends, we have to talk about FanDuel. You can snap into action this NFL season, this college season. I mean, we've just been giving these crazy odds to you guys. You can jump into action with FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place a $5 bet. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action. The app is so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including spreads, player props, which I love so much, over-unders, and more. So visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn and kick off the NFL season. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL.
Thank you to our Italian ad reader. Boom or bust this week in college football. Look, I'll start it off with a boom team that we talked about already on this show that we have not talked about maybe yet until this week. It's the Missouri Tigers. Look, I get it. The schedule to this point has maybe not been elite. There have not been a ton of reasons to turn your eyes over to Mizzou and see what they're doing. But at the same time, they are undefeated, top 25. And Kenton, you already said it. Eli Drinkwitz is doing something at Missouri right now that the nation's not looking at. And it's kind of how they like it. This is what Mizzou does. They come in, fly under the radar, play well. And Drinkwitz, who was effectively coaching for his job, has now gone 5-0. Granted, again, their biggest wins against Kansas State. Their conference win is against Vanderbilt. They've got to prove it against LSU this week. But my boom, undefeated 5-0 Missouri Tigers, who I thought at this point could have been 3-2, especially with a disappointing loss they almost suffered to Middle Tennessee State. Kenton, who's your boom or bust?
You know, I'm from the home of the player haters ball, and so I want to start off with a bust first, okay? South Carolina has continued to look worse and worse and worse throughout this season.
Yeah.
So much so that them playing Georgia close was a victory. I'm sorry, what? Brother, this is not a coaching year one. This is not a coach that's, hey, we're in our first year of a rebuild. We don't know what's going on. At the end of the day, I knew that there were going to be problems with that team when they were scrambling and adding defensive linemen who they said were going to be in the rotation a week before the first game.
Yeah.
I knew there were going to be problems, but boy, have they appeared in a major, major way. Shane Beamer is undoing a lot of goodwill that Pops has given him on the sideline just from that last name. It is looking nasty. It is looking ugly. And I'll tell you what, we joke all the time about LinkedIn and Billy. Billy might not be the only coach that ain't a coach in the SEC at the end of this season. I'm just saying.
Dono, boom, bus. What do you got first?
I'm going to go boom. I'm going to give you a boom 1A and a 1B because I do have to give some love to the team
It's
cover.
So positive every week, Dono. It is so positive.
Super I try. Positive. I'm always
multiple
smiling.
Boom.
And that's why I had to bring my player haters energy. I had to balance it out.
The happy Italian guy from FanDuel.
I will have a bus later, but I want to give a boom to Miami. They're favored big against Georgia Tech tomorrow, so hopefully they can live up to that hype because they're supposed to win the game by 20 against a Georgia Tech team that just lost to Bowling Green last week. But I watched a lot of improvement before my very eyes. Last season, Miami had the 107th ranked offense in college football. They're up to number 7 right now. Tyler Van Dyke is very quietly the top graded quarterback in the country per Pro Football Focus right now. And the Hurricanes have the number 1 rushing defense in the country. They were dreadful at that as well last year. So I want to give some love to Miami. But I also want to give a boom staying in the ACC. I know I got Kenton's attention with this one, Locked On ACC. North Carolina, I mean, UNC, they've taken care of their business. They're off to a nice 4-0 start. And they get Tez Walker back. We'll see how much he plays against Syracuse tomorrow. And UNC plays Miami next week. So I would imagine Tez is going to be ready for a significant workload for that game. So you're taking already an excellent offense and making it even better by granting Walker that waiver to play. So UNC to me is another team that's booming.
You know, there are some obvious busts as I go into mine from last week. You talk about a Houston team that's been really terrible. Even sticking in the Big 12, UCF, that fall apart against Baylor. I mean, a historic, monumental fall apart as they tried for their first Big 12 win. Then there's Arkansas, who struggled so mightily in the SEC under Sam Pittman, who's now been here 4 years. And the Florida Gators, who, it goes without saying, are just really, really bad at
folks, as you can see, one of our producers is in fact one of the hosts of Locked On Gators, and that's why Drake just got muted with the thumbs down. We have the funnest producers in the game, by the way.
I have been waiting. I'm the only one that hasn't gotten muted, I think. So finally,
I'm about to get muted.
Yeah. Bus team though is a team that's undefeated. I'm gonna go with USC and the Trojans. This reminds me a lot of the Ian Book quarterback Notre Dame teams that were supposed to be so good. But then finally, when the real competition hit, when the big games came up, the defense was fraudulent. There wasn't enough offensively to constitute an undefeated record, a playoff type season. When I look at USC, I see an elite quarterback, but the pieces around him, the defense especially, after this 48-41 win against Colorado, and the way that it all kind of fell apart there at the end where Colorado had a chance to go win. At the first half, I'm thinking, all right, USC's legit. The defense looks good. Then came the fall apart. I'm not buying USC to this point. I still think this team finishes in the 9-3, 10-2 range. They're not going to the college football playoff. The defense is not good enough. I am selling hard on USC. And despite the win, again, this week proved to me the defense is just not there. Defense wins championships. This team doesn't have it.
So this boom is going to be very niche, and it's also going to hurt my soul to say a little bit because I hate this position. But backup quarterbacks in the ACC, what a time they're having. What a time. I mean, you got Anthony Calandria at Virginia. What a freshman he's looked like. He's had some bad turnovers, but he's a freshman. You expect that. Some of his balls have been absolutely amazing in terms of the deep balls that he's putting out there. Kyron Drones at Virginia Tech. Brother, if I look at the Kyron Drones or Mike Vick, I don't know.
Former Baylor Bear. by the way, former Baylor Bear.
You know, that's why I had to include him. That's
would have won the Heisman at Baylor. Just throw that out there.
Hey, listen, I don't know if Aranda would. Never mind. We're not going to go there right now. We ain't going there. But the fact of the matter is very simple. And then you got MJ Morris taking over for Brennan Armstrong at NC State. And here's how bad it got. He hadn't even started or played a game yet this year, but he's still on this list for this reason. There were fans at NC State putting up missing and wanted signs for MJ Morris. Folks, I don't think y'all understand just how excited people are to see this young man get out there and do it. I'm telling you what, these backup quarterbacks in the ACC, what a time to be alive, because everybody loves them. They're all playing above their heads and doing great things. I know that Calandra's been replaced by Musket again, but still, he was great when he was in there. He was exciting. He gave Virginia some hope. These backups in the ACC have put the world on notice a little bit.
Dono, I can't. You already gave me two booms. Do you have a third, or will you finally go a little negative on us and give us a bust?
No, I'm going to go negative. I mean, I might get muted, because how can I not go with Florida? I mean, I had that Florida-Kentucky. The way that I handicapped it last week was a coin flip game. Florida, not only did they lose 33-14, they allowed one human being to rush for 280 yards and three touchdowns. Ray Davis is still scoring touchdowns. I had questions about Florida's offense. Now I've got even more questions about their defense. That's my bust.
Oh, the Florida Gators certainly were a bust this week after not just a loss to Kentucky, but they got killed. They really got killed. Guys, let's keep a conference confidential conversation going with these leagues that have these hopes of getting two teams in. Kirby Smart came out this week and said every team, Vanderbilt included, should be ranked in the SEC. Not, hey, we're in a down year, or hey, we need to clean some stuff up. Georgia has not looked crisp. Kirby Smart's excuse, every team in the SEC is good. Maybe there's some validity to that. You just don't often hear head coaches say it. Although I don't see the SEC as a league that can get two teams in. I certainly don't see the Big 12 that way, or the ACC. The Pac-12 seems, oddly enough, at second in this race behind the Big 10. Is there another conference that's not the Big 10 that can get two in, Dono, or is it only the Big 10 that can do it?
Well, okay, first of all, let me address Kirby Smart's comments, because, like, you can buy that argument some years that, oh, the SEC, they're just beating up on each other because they're so good. They've got a losing record out of conference. So how do you reconcile that? And listen, man, I'm not saying the SEC's dead or anything like that. I'm sure they're going to continue to be. I mean, the Big Ten is obviously strengthening as well, but the SEC is going to continue to be a preeminent conference in college football. Can we just admit they're having a down year, or they've had a down, you know, half a year so far? Apparently, Mr. Smart cannot admit that. But no,
and Dono, there may be only one conference, and it's the dying conference, that can say they're not having a down year. I mean, when you look at the ACC's missing its powerhouse Clemson, when the Big Ten is missing, is Ohio State fraudulent? Are they good? I mean, there are some leagues right now that are trying to scratch and claw towards, hey, we're still relevant. The Pac-12 being the only one who's truly had consistency this year.
Yeah, right. And that's true. But I will say, as far as getting two teams into the playoffs, the Big Ten looks far and away the most likely right now. Yeah. Now, obviously, you know, only one of them can win the conference championships, and Michigan and Ohio State do have a regular season matchup against one another, but they're both in the top four, and Penn State is in the top six. So yeah, the odds are just in the favor of the Big Ten right now. And, you know, I think Ohio State, who looked a little rocky at the start of the year, I think that's a situation where they're going to continue to kind of figure it out as the season goes on, and McCord is going to get more comfortable at quarterback. So I absolutely see the Big Ten as the most likely to get two in this year.
Yeah.
I 1,000% agree. And I'll tell you this much. Kirby Smart is not – he's being very unserious. This is – Kirby has done a lot of unserious things. For example, having his defensive end, Nolan Smith, saying, y'all thought that we were a 7-win team. Nobody thought that, Nolan. Your head coach is on substances that would get you kicked out of the NCAA. You understand? That's the only way that anybody would actually have him believe that people thought you were a 7-win team, especially with your schedule. But now, moving on. The Big Ten is definitely the guys, because you got Michigan, you got Ohio State, you got Penn State, you've got multiple teams that not only look good, they look dominant. They look dominant. And not only are they dominant in conference in terms of beating up on the other team, they're beating up out of conference. Out of conference, who wanted to see those teams this year? Who was saying, oh, yeah, I want to see Penn State. Oh, yeah, bring Ohio State on. Ohio State, for all the people say about them and whether or not, listen, Ryan Day embarrassed himself by going at Lou Holtz. But they got a top, what, 15 win in that game? Like, at the end of the day, a win is a win is a win. That's just, even if they put 10 men on the field, you can't coach the other team. That's not his job. Marcus Freeman, you got to put your 11 out there. So the reality is the Big Ten is the only conference to me that has a shot at this thing because the Pac-12 is defense optional. The Big 12, I don't
see it. Doesn't exist this year. Let's just not talk about it.
I just don't see a world where both Texas and Oklahoma get in, even though there are the two likely candidates, if there were to be two teams from there. And the SEC, they're a joke this year. They're a joke. 3-6 out of conference. You're a joke. Looking terrible all throughout. Losing games that you should not. You're a joke. Because let's be honest, let's stop saying losing games you shouldn't. At a certain point, that's who you are. That's who you are. We got to accept that Money Milroe not being able to throw. That's who you are. Brian Kelly, that's who you are. Jimbo being Jimbo. That's who you are. We don't have to keep lying for these guys. It just means more. It just looks like it means just as much as it does to everybody else this year, huh?
Now, the only way in most of these conferences you get to is the weird hangup of I beat you in the regular season, you beat me in the conference title. There is a scenario where a 12-1 Texas, 12-1 Oklahoma, who have two tight games, make a case for that top four, who are, by the way, quasi-SEC teams right now. Brett Yormark, the Big 12 commissioner, will not be on hand at the Red River Shootout. Instead, Greg Sankey will, which is just a really, again, further proof that this is an SEC matchup already in the eyes of that conference. In the Pac-12, that's where things get really hairy with, all right, well, now if we decided that Utah is not good, and where does USC fall in this? And Oregon has kind of still flown under the radar as a team that's really good. We haven't talked a lot about them. Over in the SEC, if you have a 12-1 Bama, a 12-1 Georgia, no way you keep both out. But it's the question of, does that actually happen? In the ACC, can Florida State be a representative for that conference? And then, of course, in the Big Ten, as we both mentioned, you got Ohio State, Michigan, who both made it in last year. Do they repeat there? Does Penn State sneak in? With this four-team format, it's going to be really interesting to see if anybody can get to. One thing I do circle here is the amount of teams that just didn't exist to us a couple of weeks ago that I do want to bring up. Kentucky, Duke, Fresno State, Louisville, who is ranked right now in the top 25. There are Oregon State, Washington State, both being top 15. There are teams, Dono, that we were not ready for this season that have been so, so good that are still not getting the love they deserve despite being big surprises in college football.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up Louisville because they have a couple things really going for them this year. Number one is they're a good football team, as I expected them to be. And, you know, bringing back Brohm to be their head coach, it seems to be paying early dividends. They've also got, by ACC standards, the easiest schedule in the entire conference. Obviously, I'm going to be watching them against Miami second to last weekend of the year. That's the toughest matchup that they have on paper. Outside of that, if they keep playing the way that they're playing, they could have a 10-2, 11-1 type of year without even really breaking a sweat. So that's definitely a team to keep an eye on, right? If they were to get to the ACC championship and face the likes of a Florida State, I wouldn't imagine it would go very well for them, but that's a good team with a cake schedule, which is a good recipe to have a great record this year.
Yeah. Kenton, any of these teams that jump off the page to you as, hey, look, we're not talking about this undefeated darling right now, but maybe they make noise later on.
I think that I'd have to agree with Dono and Louisville. I mean, I honestly, as much as I like Devin Leary, I don't think that Kentucky has the goods to make it through the SEC. But if they do, I think that's more of a reflection on the ACC than it is of how good they are. Ray Davis is phenomenal. He's amazing. But the reality is you could put 8 in the box and kind of neutralize that. You can put 7 in the box when they're running some spread looks, and you can neutralize that. So I think that Louisville is a team that is terrifying. And I say terrifying because I've said this on Locked On ACC, and I'll say it here. Louisville is 4-5 elite performances from Jack Plummer away from being a college football playoff team. Now, I know that that's asking for a lot. I know that an elite performance from Jack Plummer is that's a tall order. That's not exactly your venti at Starbucks. That's your that's not your grande at Starbucks. That's your venti. That's your big boy there. That's the one that's coming with all the extra whipped cream and a little crunch on top. But the reality is Jamari Thrash, superstar. Phenomenal. When he gets the ball in his hands, he's electric. Joe R. Jordan, if he's even, he's leaving. If you leave him a crease, it's Katie Diz at the doorstep. Strike up the band, Cardinals reservation for six in the end zone. And then you've got a defense that, again, although they've struggled at times, very good at taking away the ball. Ashton Gelati can get home. So that is a team that I'm looking at and saying, all right, they can be something special now. They can be something much more special than I originally believed that they can be.
Yeah. Coming up, Locked On Kentucky, Lance Daw. I mean, got another. That's the big Florida win, you know, but Florida's not good, so we count that as a quality victory. Let's get the rundown on this Kentucky team from Lance, but first, Dono.
Well, guys, I want to talk about LinkedIn jobs. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available, and that's why you have to check out LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. Guys, there's no downside here. And I know this works because as an employee, I have found opportunities through LinkedIn Jobs before. When you add your job and that purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile, people are going to see it. People are out there looking for work and they're going to go after your opportunities. So spread that word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. Guys, it's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. So post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedoncollege. That's linkedin.com/lockedoncollege to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Coming up, one of our games of the week and a sneaky playoff hopeful. Kentucky, Georgia, Lance Daw joins the show. Lance Daw joining Locked On College Football Kickoff Live. Lance, look, not a lot of people nationally are giving Kentucky as much love as the Wildcats probably deserve right now. Do you agree with that assessment going into this Georgia game?
I think when you look at what Kentucky's accomplished so far this season, I think it's absolutely fair to have a little bit of doubt when you take a look at Kentucky's unblemished record. Obviously, the month of September was relatively easy for UK. I mean, they scraped by Akron, Eastern Kentucky, Ball State, a couple of really easy opponents. Went over to Vanderbilt, had a couple of pick sixes really aid them in that big-time win on the road, scored a lot of points. But at the end of the day, I think that looking at this Kentucky team right now, coming out of this Florida game, I think a lot of fans surrounding the team are excited about it. But go and look at that Florida game. I don't necessarily know if that's a situation where you watch Kentucky's ground game really take off. You watch Ray Davis explode for 300 or on nearly 300 yards. I don't necessarily know if that's a Kentucky strength or a Florida weakness here. And it was what you were saying a minute ago, Drake, about just how I don't really know if Kentucky has played a quality opponent up until this point. And we're going to really find out on Saturday whether or not they are worth their salt. Now, again, I want to reiterate, not a whole lot in terms of legitimate opponents that they've seen. So I don't really know if we have a ton of data to truly tell us whether or not Kentucky is capable of competing this weekend against the Bulldogs. I think after we get this game and if they somehow come out with a win, then we'll have a really good idea of where they stand.
Something that I'm always curious about, Lance, is, you know, the matchup against Brock Bowers, Carson Beck. How's that looking on paper?
Well, I think right now with Kentucky and what they've got in their defense, it's not necessarily an individual that can cover Brock Bowers, because as we identified last weekend, nobody can cover Brock Bowers. Auburn tried throwing literally everyone in the kitchen sink at Bowers, and they could not find anybody to cover him. I don't think Kentucky has an individual on this team that can. Now it's just finding different ways to kind of lock him up with more than one individual. But I will say this, an area that Auburn struggled with last weekend, and I think an area that Kentucky could struggle with this weekend, is third down. Georgia went to Bowers continuously on third down, and he was always open. I'm really concerned considering Kentucky has had struggles this year getting off the field. I'm concerned that Kentucky may be in for a rude awakening on defense with Brock Bowers. It's just one of those situations where nobody can really stop him, but can you kind of limit him? I don't necessarily know if Kentucky has the dudes to do it. I don't know if the stats necessarily reflect that. So it's a major concern heading into this weekend.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm sorry for bigging up Louisville so much here in this last segment. I know it hurt your heart a little bit to hear that. But with that being said, tell me what about this Kentucky team that the rest of the world – tell me what it is about this team that the rest of the world doesn't know that they need to get acclimated to, right? Because anybody who watches Kentucky play, even as a casual fan, you're going to hear the name Ray Davis, sweet baby Ray, you know, babyface Ray. You're going to hear about Ray all day long. But tell us, who are the unsung heroes that if this upset is to be pulled off, this guy will be a massive part of?
Well, I think right now Kentucky, one of the most impressive things that they've done so far this season is they've really maintained a strong turnover margin, which is something that they were not able to do over the past couple of seasons underneath defensive coordinator Brad White. I think right now when you look at Kentucky and what they've got going on that defensive end, or I think they've got a lot of different guys in the secondary that you have to be impressed with. I'm trying to pull up his last name because I always botch it on my show just to make sure that I don't botch Maxwell Hairston's last name. He currently has 3 interceptions on the season. 2 of them have been returned for touchdowns. He has been a game changer for the Wildcats so far this season. Kentucky's got a number of different guys in the secondary that have been, I don't necessarily know if lucky is the right word, but just in the right place at the right time when it comes to creating some of these turnovers and immediately turning into points. But look across this defensive backfield. I think that you could find a number of different guys. If you want to talk about unsung heroes, Trevin Wallace, Alex Afari, like I said, Maxwell Hairston, you've got several guys on this back end that you have to be really impressed with the way that they've played so far this season. I think Kentucky and their secondary is maybe a little bit underrated so far this year, and I think it could be a big help for them in some conference games, maybe some more home games here where they start to create some turnovers and it really starts to create a gap between them and whoever the opponent is, because Kentucky has proven if you're going to give us the takeaways, we will cash them in for points, and they have made people really pay for that. So I would have to go with the secondary as a whole, but Maxwell Hairston has been an excellent, excellent player.
Lance, elevator pitch here. In short, will Kentucky make the playoff?
I would say that Kentucky's got a legitimate shot if they win this weekend. I think that the SEC East outside of Georgia has a lot of really solid but not elite teams. Anybody can beat anybody this year. I think Kentucky's strength in the trenches. I do like this D-line, but man, this O-line last weekend, if they play like they did last week against Florida, if they do that again for several SEC games, you're not a fan.
Somebody take away Brendan's thumbs down. Take away his thumb down and his mute feature. Snatch them both. Ali, Zach, get him out of here. Get him off the controls, please. Get him out of here.
I think right now Kentucky's passing offense is still a work in progress. I believe with the plethora of receivers that Devin Leary has to throw to, this can be a better offense as the year goes on. Maybe we see that. Maybe we see Kentucky, start to strengthen that area of their game, and they win some games here down the road. They beat Louisville by a million at the end of the year, and we call it a day.
Wow. Elevator to the top of the Empire State Building. That's Lance Daw. Locked On Kentucky. Lance, thanks for joining Locked On College Football Kickoff Live.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Thanks, Lance.
All right, quickly, before we get out of here, guys, the biggest games of the week, let's pick them just quick. I mean, I want to throw out 2 teams. You give me who wins. Alabama and Texas A&M, Dono.
Alabama is going to win that game. I would like to see Texas A&M win it to kind of inject some new blood. I think Milroe's going to be good enough. And I know Max Johnson played well last week. He's taken over for Connor Wigman, who's out for the year. But Johnson, I don't think, has enough mobility. I think that's going to be something that hurts Texas A&M down the road. And they're not winning this game. I'm going with Bama.
Kenton.
Yeah, I've got Bama as well. Again, Jimbo is known for not showing up in these big games, and I think this is another one where Texas A&M falls flat on his face.
A&M already got its home win against Alabama a couple of years ago. It's not happening again. Alabama wins it. Oklahoma, Texas, Kenton.
Texas, hook 'em horns. I think that Oklahoma will put up a good fight. I think that it'll be closer than many people think it'll be. But too much Quinn Ewers. I think that he has his Heisman moment in this game and kind of inserts himself into that conversation.
Texas covers the 5 points for me, Dono.
Yeah, I think Oklahoma puts up a good fight for 2.5 to 3 quarters, and then the horns pull away.
LSU and Missouri, give me the Tigers of LSU, Kenton.
Listen, y'all heard me. I'm with Drink. I'm with my guy, Eli Drinkwitz, because, again, there's only one coach in this game who has not snatched defeat from the jaws of victory so effortlessly at such a high clip. And his last name ain't Kelly. He's not part of the Tiger family. He's just a Missouri Tiger.
Dono?
Point well taken, but I'm going to go with the Tigers of the Bayou Bengal variety still to win a close one.
Kentucky and Georgia, just for fun. Give me the Wildcats this week on the road, because at some point the magic has to run out. Georgia's been just pretty bad in a couple of games despite winning. I'm going to take Kentucky despite you guys likely not, Kenton.
Here's the thing. I'm with you when you're right, Drake. With you when you're right. Uh-huh. And let me tell you this. I feel like they're one Devin Leary breakout game away from beating Georgia. But I'm not sure if Devin Leary delivers a breakout game here. I thought the last week would be the week, and he was good. He wasn't great last week. I got Georgia winning a close one. But don't be surprised if Drake comes over here with his shades talking about he bought receipts, baby, next week.
I have 11 toes now if it happens, Dono.
There you go.
Yeah, but listen, obviously Georgia hasn't looked as dominant as expected. They've earned enough benefit of the doubt from me based on the last couple of years for me to say they're doing enough to win games, and that's going to continue this week.
I love it. That, Kenton Gibbs from Locked On ACC and Locked On Wolfpack, Alex Dono of Locked On Canes. I'm Drake Toll from Locked On Big 12. Thanks for making this your lunchtime listen every single Friday. This has been Locked On College Football Kickoff Live. Remember to watch it live every single Friday, noon to 1 on your favorite Locked On College Channel YouTube.